left off yesterday was still stuck with a question on within the view of Beis Shammai that a sukkah requires the Shema min HaTorah. The Mishnah and Rashi says explicitly that we can accept such a sukkah if it was built with the stub of the Shema. Even though the person didn't really think the Shema, it was built within 30 days before sukkah, so it's understood that he meant to build it the Shema. The problem was that according to Hefter Rishonim, when we speak about Machshavas Lishma, it requires a formal dibur. It's not enough just to think Lishma. You have to verbalize, you have to declare literally with one's words Lishma. So we don't understand that if you hold, there is no such requirement of verbalizing Lishma. It's just enough to think Lishma. So then we can explain away that, well, the stum of Lishma is like you thought Lishma. You know, really, it's as if you thought Lishma. Whereas, if you hold it, you need deeper, how is the stum of Lishma going to help? How in the world is stum of Lishma going to be any more than a machshava Lishma? That's the question we left off yesterday. So in order to tackle this question, we're going to have to go back a little bit to the world of Kachim. I can't say go back, we haven't really left the world of Kachim. And introduce a chakira that the Brisker Rav raises about the very din of stum of Lishma. Now the existence of stum of Lishma clearly is there. And the original source for it is a sugin kachim, the beis maseches bachim. But the Gemara basically tells us that when you shech the carbon, even though it's so important that you don't shech the shelo lishma, if you shech the shelo lishma, sometimes it disqualifies the carbon, sometimes it makes it ineligible to count for your neder. So doing things shelo lishma is a problem in karbanos. But the Gemara says, as long as it's stum, it's all right. As long as you don't do anything, you don't forget anything, you just go in there, shech, you know, with your eyes closed. Not literally eyes closed, but with your mind closed, so that everything's okay, stum lishma. So says Piskarov, yesh lachor, one can raise the following chakira. What's the nature of this din of stum lishma? So one can understand this halacha of stum lishma one of two ways. So the Piskarov doesn't use these terms themselves, we're going to use it because I think it helps, makes it a little bit easier for us. We can understand stum lishma almost in what we call the psychological realm, or in the halachic realm. What would that mean in the psychological realm? It means basically what stum lishma is saying is that we can in a sense read your mind. It means I see a carbon, I know his machdash is a carbon, I know it's supposed to be brought as an ola, all things planned, and then at the moment of truth, I forgot to formally declare that it's lishma. No. I basically did. In the back of the deep recesses of my mind, at some level of consciousness, I had in mind that it should be lishma. So basically what stum lishma is saying is that there's no newfangled halacha called stum lishma. All stum lishma means is that it's a way of being mishayar, it's a way of assessing that the gaver probably really did do it lishma. Now, normally we would have liked if it would have been a formal, an official statement or thought, whatever it is, of lishma. But push comes to shove, if it's stum lishma, we can assume that's probably what really happened. So that's one way of understanding what stum lishma means. Well, perhaps there's another way of understanding stum lishma, more of in a halachic sense rather than in a psychological sense. Says the Brisker Rav, and here's where Brisk begins to enter into the equation. Says the Brisker Rav, there are two different paths of accomplishing the same goal. The goal is that this carbon should be brought lishma. Says the Brisker Rav, one way of enabling it to be lishma is derech hagavra, that the gavra can declare it to be lishma. How does he do that? By hinni b'chum zomun lishma. I didn't say yet. I think he was saying. I'm not sure yet what the answer to that question is. But it's the gavra ha'poyel lishma. The gavra creates the lishma in the object. Well, there's a second path, an equally valid path of creating lishma. The cheftza, it speaks for itself. Not literally, figuratively, the cheftza itself is done lishma. Why is that? Once the cheftza is omid l'kach, once the cheftza is supposed to be done lishma, once the carbon mitam atzmo was screaming out, I'm lishmanik, so the cheftza omid l'kach, when the shechita and the avodas hakorbanos is done, stum lishma means not pshat that we assume the gavra met lishma. We're not doing any mind tests. We're not reading into his deep psyche and say, oh yeah, he had a mind lishma. No, he didn't have lishma. He didn't have money, anything. The guy's fast asleep. He doesn't know. He's not paying attention to anything. It doesn't matter. The chevtza mitam atzmo that's amid l'kach to be lishma, just the mere amid l'kach lishma has the ability to create a lishma as well. So at the end of the day, stum lishma works. In the cases where it works. When the facts are right, that's stum lishma. Not everything is stum lishma. Get l'moshul. It's not stum lishma. Other things are not stum lishma. A sukkah before 30 days before sukkah. It's not stum lishma. But those cases where stum lishma can be applied, both in the case of karbanos or beis shamash sukkah within 30 days of sukkahs, if and when Stav L'Shma is a valid assessment, then, says the Biskei Rav, we have two paths, which way to go down. Do we go down the route of the deeper recesses of the psyche, which means that it's basically a L'Shma de Gavra, albeit not explicitly, but it's a L'Shma de Gavra. What do we say now? It's a L'Shma Mitzad HaChefza. My nafkamina between the two approaches. So L'Chor, the nafkamina is going to be how to understand this idea of Stav L'Shma in light of the fact that the person didn't say anything. So if one holds that Stam L'Shma is the same as a Kiddush HaGavra, it's the same as a L'Shma L'Gavra, there's only one road, there's only one route to create L'Shma, the Gavra has to create L'Shma. So you're going to tell me a story that it's as if the person thought L'Shma, that's great if you hold that L'Shma suffices with Machshava. But if you go down the route of the Rishonim, that L'Shma means more than Machshava, L'Shma requires a Dibor. So the deep recess of the person's mind from today to tomorrow is not going to be a dibur. So anyone who wants to accept the first approach of Stam L'Shma, to label Stam L'Shma as being Mitzad HaGavra, has to commit themselves to this Machlokes Rishon, Rabbeinu Baruch, and the Rambam, and the Chinuch, we spoke about yesterday, and you have to go down the route that creation of L'Shma, the HaGavra, need not be done verbally. If you insist on verbal L'Shma, then Stam L'Shma is just not going to do the trick. So we know Stam L'Shma works. The Gemara of Beis and Zvachim says it works. Mishnah and Sukkot of Tes says it works. So if you believe that all Stam L'Shma is simply the L'Shma of the Gavra, then by default you must subscribe to those Rishonim who say that L'Shma need not be verbalized. What about those Rishonim who say L'Shma must be verbalized? So then the second part of the Briskei Rav becomes very helpful. But medvam amurim, that L'Shma has to be verbalized, that's for the Gavra to be the oises al-L'Shma, so the Gavra has to put into words, dvarim shebelev enim dvarim, what the person thinks doesn't matter. I can't create kinyana without dibur, I can't create nadar without dibur, I can't create a lot of things without dibur, I can't create a L'Shma as a Gavra without dibur. So the deeper recesses of my psyche from today till tomorrow, dibur is not. But if you tell me that Stam L'Shma is not mitzad gavra, Stam L'Shma is a completely different, it's an alternate path to come to the same conclusion. It's a different mahalach that the Torah gives us to create L'Shma, namely, the cheftza mitam atzmai, but the fact that it's Eim L'Shma, it's Teufis on the Chavtza, Adin L'Shma, says the Biskei Rav, if it's Teufis on the Chavtza, Adin L'Shma, you don't need the Gavra altogether. I don't need the Gavra. I don't need the Gavra's Dibur. I don't need the Gavra's Machshav. I don't need a Saiga or anything. It happens all by itself. So just because Kiddush HaGavra, just because Asiyas L'Shma of a Gavra requires a Dibur, that doesn't mean that Asiyas L'Shma of a Chavtza requires Dibur. The Chavtza is Oses Atzma L'Shma without any participation, any input of the Gavra, and therefore there's no difference between Machshav and Dibur or anything. The Shma is emanating from the Chavtza and not from the Gavra.
But the Shma concept is one of, via his brain, you're putting it at, you're endowing something with this.
Because that's exactly so. Because you are very stuck on the first beer in the Briskei Rav. But I'm telling you that there are two different paths of creating L'Shma. One is the endowment of the brain or the words of the Gavra, and the other is that the Chavtza itself speaks for itself. The Chavtza itself, from the mere fact that it's omen L'Shma, that gufa creates a status of L'Shma. See, it's such a foreign concept, but that's what the Briskei Rav says. The Briskei Rav has a second biur, and the second biur is very, very helpful in terms of our understanding those Rishonim who insist on dibur.
Questions? Not all L'Shma are created equally. I mean, nobody writes a get, except for writing a get. But you can have a sukkah for...
No, so forget the...
I'm saying, if you're doing something which is clearly... No one ties tzitzis unless it ties tzitzis.
So you want to know. So you have to go case by case and see what is Stam L'Shma, what's not Stam L'Shma. So the answer is the Gemara says that bringing a carbon ola is Stam L'Shma because once it's hooked as an ola, that's what it's supposed to be brought as. That's what it's going to be done for. Building a sukkah, the Mishnah says, within 30 days of sukkah is Stam L'Shma. In the middle of July is not necessarily a Stam L'Shma. People are making it for...
But it
shouldn't
have anything to do with the Gavra then. It should just be... No one ties tzitzis unless they're tying tzitzis.
You're right, so maybe
thinking,
maybe tying of tzitzis is Stam L'Shma. Maybe it is. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. We have to wait till Daf Tes to get to that. And we'll get to that this month, but we'll have to see. Okay? I mean, we are in Daf Tes already, but I mean the bottom of Daf Tes, so it's also a long way, long way off. So which tzad is the correct tzad? It's very nice to throw around the fancy, alam de shabriska chakira, and then say, oh, if you hold the second tzad, everything is hunky-dory. Question is the second tzad correct? That's such a mechudashik concept. So the Briskei Rav has a raya for the Gemara. Briskei Rav says he has a raya proof in the Gemara that the second tzad is the correct tzad. What's the raya? So we have to buckle down a little bit into the depths of kachim right now in order to understand and appreciate the Brisker Rav's raya. It's, I guess, we're within Shloshim Yom of Pesach, so it's a little bit of a sugya of Korban Pesach as well. So we need just a little bit of a background. We know that shechting something l'shma is the right way to go. That's what we want to happen in Ochus Kavanos. But every once in a while, we have a very, very strange halacha that we dafka want to do things shalol l'shma. We dafka want to go out of our way to bring this particular korban, not for the purpose of that korban. Why in the world would anybody want to do that? And the following scenario, it's what's called a Pesach B'Shayim Os HaShana. If I have an animal that's designated to be brought as a korban Pesach, so I'm supposed to shecht it on Yudal Nisan Ben Arbayim, L'Shem Pesach. That's what's supposed to happen. What if I decide I was makdish as a korban Pesach, and now it's 2 weeks before Pesach, and I'm in the Beis Hamikdash a little bit early, I want to bring a korban shlomim today. So what's the din? What's the halacha? So whether I should be doing it or not doing it is a different story, but l'maisa, the din is, if I shecht this korban Pesach, even though it's not Erev Pesach, so it's not the time to bring a korban Pesach, is what's called a Pesach B'Shayim Os HaShana, and a Pesach B'Shayim Os HaShana can double as a korban shlomim. There are certain similarities between Shlomim and Pesach. So therefore, there's a special din learned out from Pesachim, a whole series of Pesachim in the beginning of Masechet Zevachim, that a Pesach, Shalobi Erev Pesach, B'Shayim Os HaShana, if it's done in a certain manner, can become transformed to become a regular korban shlomim. What mechanism transforms it? Strange din. If it's shechted, shalol l'shem Pesach. If I go ahead and I shechted, hini mulchum zum l'shem korban Pesach, and it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, then it's puzzle. Then it's a Pesach, shalol b'zman. No, Pesach shalol b'zman is mamish puzzle. I can't do anything with that. I can't eat it. It has to be burnt. But if I shechted it dafka, hini mulchum zum shalol l'shem korban Pesach, then by default it becomes a shlomim, and as a shlomim it's going to be kosher. So, it's a strange halacha. It's the opposite of everything we've been talking about until now. I have to go out of my way, dafka, to do it shalol l'shma. So comes the Gemara with that background of Sachem of Samach of Mebeis, and has the following shayla. And the eighth of the Mammon comes. Ibailu, here's the shayla. Pesach sheshachto b'shayim asashana, l'shmo v'shalol l'shma. The guy's a little bit mixed up, and he has, hinan imuchan imzuman, I'm going to shech this for two purposes. He has in mind, I'm shechting it l'shem Pesach, but at the same time, he has in mind, he's shechting it l'shem Shlom as well. He's as mixed up as the other guy was yesterday, who has half the mulim, half the reilim. So the guy is producing multiple machshavas. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the din? What's the din if you have a dual, it's really contradictory machshavas, what's the din? Ma'u. Mi osi shalol l'shmo u'mafik lemidei l'shmo. Do we say that as long as you got in there a shalol l'shmo machshava, then you're okay, then you're home free, and the shalol l'shmo will save you. And then the shalol l'shmo carries the day, and therefore the korban becomes transformed to become a shalom, and it's kosher. Although, the Gemara says, nah, nothing doing. That as long as you still had in mind a little bit l'shem Pesach, that's a problem. So the only time we can be machshir this korban is if it was 100% done shalol l'shem Pesach. So the Gemara is asking, there's a detail within the din that we require and have Torah b'chsheva shalol l'shmo to salvage this carpet to turn it into a shlomim. Does this qualify as a sufficient shalol l'shmo? Because it's tainted with a little bit of l'shmo as well. That's the suffering of the Gemara. So Amar Rava. So Rava tries to bring you the following raya. Pesach sheshachto b'shayim asashana l'shmo v'shalol l'shmo kosher. So Rava says it's kosher. What's the raya? It's the raya that's critical for us. Da stomo l'shmo koi v'yafilu hachi ki shachet l'shalol l'shmo kosher. Says Rava, person comes Rosh Chodesh Nisan to the Beis Hamikdash, and he walks in with a sheep that he was makdish as a korban Pesach. 6 months ago, he declared this is going to be his korban Pesach. So once he declares it to be his korban Pesach, it's chal on it a din of stumble l'shma. Most people, when they have a korban Pesach, bring it as a korban Pesach. The one mishugan that decides to shecht it for shlomim early, but if you ask the average person, where's this korban going? Where's it heading? It's got the big words korban Pesach written all over it, literally, figuratively. Everybody knows this is a stumble l'shma. And all the halacha requires is that he shechts it shalom l'shma, and that changes it, and then it becomes kosher. So Frek Rava, what do you mean it becomes kosher? It has stumble l'shma still written all over it, and the person merely says shalom l'shma. Every korban Pesach b'shayim os hashana is in effect the combination of a l'shma and a shalom l'shma. The shalom l'shma is being declared by the person, and the l'shma is written all over the korban Pesach. What halachic mechanism create the l'shma? The two magic words, stamol l'shma, and it's still okay. And the Torah still says that's okay. So Rava says, let's take a look at Rava again. Amar Rava, Shachta Pesach Shachta B'Shayim Asa Shana L'Shma V'Shal L'Shma Kasha. Why? Ta'astama L'Shma Koi. Every Kavim Pesach B'Shayim Asa Shana Stama L'Shma. Ve'afilu Hachi Ki Shachit Le Shalol L'Shma Kasher. And Afa Pichain, when you Shechtet Shalol L'Shma, it's Kasher. Alma Asi Shalol L'Shma U'mafik Le'bidei L'Shma. So you see that as long as you snuck in there a little bit Shalol L'Shma, even though it's a little bit lishma also, that's okay, that doesn't matter, that doesn't concern me. As long as you chapter around, you're able to stick in there a little bit of a representation of shalol lishma, that's okay. So too, ki shachit nam lishma lishma. So what's the difference between the fellow who shechts a stop of lishma and the person who shechts literally lishma v'shalol lishma, asi shalol lishma, mafik levidei lishma. So if I had a blackboard here, I'd draw the following equation. What Rava just did for us is made the following equation. Stama lishma is the halakha equivalent of machshava lishma. The afa pichein, a shalol lishma saves the day. So if shalol lishma saves the day, even if there's present a stama lishma, a shalol lishma saves the day, even if there's present a literal lishma. That was Rava's equation. Comes to Brisker Rava and says, I don't understand b'chla what Rava just said. Rava said, when you have a korban that's a stama lishma, and you stick in a shalol lishma, says the Brisker Rava, when you have a korban that's a stama lishma and you do a shalol lishma, then it's no longer stama lishma anymore. Is it your machshava shalol lishma mafkia the din of shalol of lishma? The lishma doesn't, it's not here anymore. It doesn't register anymore. How in the world did Rava extrapolate from that case to the case when the guy is mamish screaming lishma v'shalol lishma lishma v'shalol lishma? In the case of a stama lishma combined with a shalol lishma, it's not stama anymore. Right, because he just changed it. It's no longer stama. Says the Brisker Rav, if you hold that stama lishma is we're trying to analyze what's in the deep recesses of your mind, so then I told you what's in the deep recesses of my mind. The deep recesses of my mind are, is shalol lishma. So comes the Brisker Rav and says, if all stama lishma is a way of reading your mind, but medivam amurim, when you don't tell us what's on your mind. But if you tell us what's on your mind, then there's no deep recesses anymore. So that all we have in front of us is a shalol lishma. Of course that's good. How in the world could Rava compare that to the person who literally pshuto kamashmo screamed out the top of his lungs, lishma, the shalol lishma? Said the Brisker Rav, the only way to make any sense of this gemara is to explain that when you have a stama lishma, that means it exists not mitam agavra, it exists mitam achevtza. Every carbon that has stama lishma written all over it, the chevtza is oimed lekach to be stama lishma. Even if you're changing that, even if you're screaming for care, it doesn't matter. Once the din of stama lishma kicks in, there's automatically licked to this carbon an aspect of lishma. That's exactly what Rava said. Wait a second. Even though you are saying shalol lishma is still licked in this carbon and aspect of lishma, and it's still okay, what do you see from here? That a combination of lishma and shalol lishma is good. Oh, Zot Rava, very good. If a combination of lishma and shalol lishma is good enough to be machshir the carbon pesach and turn into a shlamim, what's the difference whether the combination was affected by a literal lishma and shalol lishma, or the combination was affected by a stam lishma and shalol lishma? It's all the same thing. So says the Brisker Rav, we never would have said this job. He said, "Finish the Gemara, offer the Gemara, Pesachim, Daf Samach, Beis." You have to be the Brisker Rav to see this Gemara. Right. Of course, everybody, when they read this Gemara, Daf Yomi, of course, saw it. It's Pashut, you see in this line. Brisker Rav looked at every single line. He said, that line, Rav's Shtikl Torah, is Munach, this Yesod, that Stam Lishma is not psychological. Stam Lishma is not din, it's not halachic. It's a din mitzad hachevtza. And if it's a din mitzad hachevtza, then it becomes very helpful in Sukkah Daf Tes. So we're really learning Sukkah Daf Tes. We really just want to know what's the din according to Beis Shammai. How can we, on the one hand, insist on a lishma and a love of their Isa? And half the Rishonim say lishma and love of their Isa means a divor. And yet, stam lishma kicks in within Shloshim Yom. So the answer is, a stam lishma doesn't need a divor. Because a stam lishma is not an endowment. I'm sorry, I was real, but it's not an endowment. It's not a gavra. It's a din that's noveh that emanates from the chefza. And it's proof positive for the Gemara Pesachim of Samach Mabez. Since it emanates from the chefza, it's not shaykh to the gavra. I don't need his divor. I don't need his machshav. I don't need anything. The chefza itself speaks for, quote unquote, speaks for itself.
This Pesach, though, was Shari Mos Hashanah. There was no stama lishma until he declared.
No, he was makdish already. He was makdish. Shabbos Shabbos is not yet Pesach. He was makdish a month ago, and everybody knows this Adam was going straight to the Beis Hamikdash to be brought to Pesach. All of a sudden, 2 weeks before Pesach, I get this new plan.
How do we know that? Maybe it was a month after Pesach.
Yeah, the Gemara talks about that.
Maybe it's just a kashrut thing. With this apply if he did the same thing on Erev Pesach in the afternoon?
No. If Erev Pesach in the afternoon, that's a Korban Pesach, bizmano, that shechted for another reason, that's Mamash Pasul.
So it's really more of a Kachim thing, since he can't bring a Pesach now. So, yes, there's a Kedusha to this animal because he designated it, and then he brought it as a different carbon, so it's still okay, it's still kosher, and that it's not a...
But the problem is that it has to be done shalom lishma. If I have a carbon, something
it
that,
is because not at the right time.
No, like but that's no, 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 but it's not true. Let's say a person shechted, he's makdish carbon pesach, and he comes for shlosh nisan, he shechted stam with no intention whatsoever to mafkia the kedusha. So it's puzzle. You need an akira. You need a formal halachic shalom lishma to be makdish the carbon. It's not just by default it becomes a. It becomes kosher.
Is it declare it? It needs to say something?
The Gemara's whole sugi is about that, about Akira, about what is necessary to be mafkia the shame of Lishma. Yeah, you gotta learn all the
davening stuff. Will be the case of any carbon or just the carbon Pesach?
The other carbon can switch. Only carbon Pesach has that unique feature that it has that shlomim almost like you're built into it as a backup. A regular carbon,
Pesach until.
You want to give the lumdus why that is. So that's not 100%. You got to learn 40 blotim sachem to figure it out. I didn't learn those. I didn't learn those blotim properly. Okay.
I'm saying it's not a raya to our.
No, it's just the nekud of the raya is just that the Gemara is invoking the principle of stumble. The stumble shema is working the same way. But the Gemara in Zvachim Dabeis wanted to compare stumble shema of Kachim to stumble shema of Gittin. The only reason why the Gemara fell short was because stab ishes of Gerishin Kaima. But if not for that problem, stumble shema is a kol tarakula din. It's not a Kachim din. Stumble shema applies outside of Kachim, if and when it applies. Okay. So we finished the first half of the sugya, the more difficult part of the sugya, but now we move into the second half of the sugya for a minute or two, and that's the view of Beis Hillel. So everything we've been saying up to now about the sukkah is all within the view of Beis Shammai, who insist on there being a siyasa sukkah lishma, and Beis Hillel say no, Beis Hillel machshirin, everything is fine, everything is great. So that means everything is really, truly great, pshuto kemashmo. So if you take a look at the 9th of the Rambam Kamos, so Tosfos and stuff Tesamet Aleph quote Sukkah Yishana Beis Hillel Machshirin. So of course we follow Beis Hillel. Comes Tosfos puts the brakes on this. Birushalmi Tani, in the Rishalmi it says Tzorach Lechadish Badavar, that even though Beis Hillel say an old sukkah built 6 months ago is still kosher, you have to touch it up a little bit. You have to do what's called Chiddush Davar. You have to add on a little bit of the schach. Has to be done for the purposes of sukkah. What does that mean? Chavraya Amrin Tefach Rabbi Yossi Omek Kol Shehu. So Chavraya, the Chabura, the Yeshiva said that it has to be a tefach of schach, has to be touched up properly. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, even the smallest amount, but provided that smallest amount goes across the entire length of the sukkah. So you can take one long bamboo pole and pick it up and put it back down again, that would be okay. Or, according to the other opinions, you can take a little small area of a tefach and that's fine. So this is a very, very strange din that Tosfos quoted from the Rishalmi, because this doesn't correspond to any of the shiurim of schach that we know. We know a sukkah 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. So did the person rebuild the sukkah? Clearly not. If he just touched up a small corner, threw one pole of bamboo across the whole sukkah, that's not called building the sukkah from scratch. So obviously, it's not really accomplishing anything. On the other hand, Rishalmi says you need it. So it's a very strange thing. Well, what do you need it for? We don't know why you need it. According to Beis Hillel, a sukkah yeshana is kosher. You know, it doesn't have to be done lishma. And on the other hand, Rishalmi is insisting on the strange chiddush davar, which we don't understand why you need it in the first place. And once you need it, we have no idea what it's trying to accomplish. So first of all, there's a machlekes in Rishonim, whether we even follow this Rishalmi. So Tosfos does quote the Rishalmi. That's true. But the Rambam doesn't. The Rambam doesn't mention anything about this Rishalmi. So the simple reading of the Rambam is, he never heard of it, never didn't buy into it. Why should we insist on it, according to those who follow this Rishalmi? So if we take a look at the 10th of the Rambam Kamos. So the Mishnah Berurah in Tofresh Lamed Vav, Sivkat Ndala, quotes from the Acharonim, Ubavachi Echadesh. So in Shulchan Aruch, Tosfos and Rishalmi is quoted. Mishnah Berurah is quick to point out, Hainu Lechatchila, Ula Mitzvah Bialma, that the only reason why you need this chiddush davar is only a lechatchila. It's not a real, real, real. It's not required on a real level of deraisa. It's only a lechatchila biyama. which would now explain away why we're so make, why we're so lenient, how much you have to do. Yeah, a couple of poles here and there. A tefach eschach, no big deal. If it would have been some kind of a new din deraisa, you have to mamash revamp the sukkah, then the small amount of fixing it up wouldn't have been sufficient. So it's only lechatchila mitzvah. And what's the reason for this derabbanan? Kadesh la yavola hatya filosobichila shem dira, the as possible deraisa. Says the Mishnah Berurah, quotes from one of the Achrav of the Nahar Shalom, who says that the reason why you require it lechatchila midrabanan is because we're concerned maybe you're going to make it l'shem dira. If a guy uses an old sukkah from 6 months ago, he may use something that was mamish made to live in. He may basically use his house. Let's say he has a little bit of a shvacha ceiling. The ceiling is not so tight. It's basically made up of branches and poles. So he's been living in the house the whole year. He says, what's wrong? I got three walls. I got tzchach on top. It rains in all year long. It rains in until it's great. What's wrong with his hat? What's wrong with my sukkah? So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, that sukkah is no good in the Torah because that's not a sukkah. That's called a bayis. That's limited to the bayis and a sukkah. If it was made the shem diras kol hashana, that's possible the raisa. So therefore, Chazal were afraid that if a guy builds a sukkah, 3 months before sukkahs, and he's not doing the shem sukkah, even though min haTorah, it's technically okay. He didn't build the mamash as his house for the whole year. On the other hand, it's a very slippery slope between a 3-month-old sukkah and a year-long sukkah. And therefore, midrabanan, they want to remind the person, make sure you realize you have to have a sukkah, not a house. And therefore, midrabanan, they said, just touch it up a little bit, fix up a little bit of the schach. Since it's only required the chetchila midrabanan, therefore we're not so machmir on him that he takes apart the whole sukkah. Small part of the sukkah would be acceptable. So this is... It's almost like a hacker, right? It's like an idea of a hacker. That's all it is. So this is the way the Mishnah Berurah presents this din. Again, we're not even sure the din exists. The Rishalmi says it. The Bavli doesn't mention it. The Ram doesn't quote it. So we're not even sure the din exists. But Allah Tzad, the din exists. So the Mishnah Berurah is pretty comfortable that it's only on a love of the Rabban. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, next year, we'll try to see that there are different approaches to how to understand this din. Maybe there's more to this din than meets the eye. And that'll be really, in a sense, the second half of our sugya. So the